Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're celebrating 30 years of the Junkies this year, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank, proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. Got the full crew. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. And joining us right now is our pal John Keim, ESPN's Commanders reporter.
JK. I'm trying to track him down. Hold on. There's Valdez is talking to him in the background.
John will be jumping on the Rude guest hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV.
I mean, there's no doubt it wasn't an easy game to get excited for.
No.
But, you know, when you're eliminated weeks and weeks in advance, this is what's going to happen. No matter if it's a 17-game season, 18-game season, 16-game season, if you're eliminated 5, 6, 7 weeks before, this is kind of what happens at the end of the year.
John, so I believe Spurrier years ago said 5-11, not very good. 5 wins. I mean, go back to preseason. We all make predictions. We all had them as a double-digit wins team. I don't know if you make official predictions before the season, but you couldn't have seen this season coming.
Oh no, I had them at 5-12. Of
Genius.
Course, not. I think. I had them at. I thought the ceiling would have been like 10 wins.
Right.
And then if a few things go wrong, then you get down to that. You know, you could see, like, okay, things go bad, 7 or 8 wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not this. And it's too hard to predict what happened to Jaden with all the injuries. You know, Terry missing as many, a guy who doesn't miss games, miss as many as he did. Now coming off a holdout where you can see people missing games. But the amount of injuries was just staggering. And that if you knew how bad it was going to be there, then you could say like, oh, okay, it's going to be a horrible season. But that was the hard part. And then they just, at times, just didn't play well. So it was, you know, I don't want to just put it all on the injuries because they didn't play well in a lot of moments where you still could have. So, but yeah, no, couldn't have seen it as bad.
Yeah, but you know what? That is an interesting point. So, listen, injuries, I think, were the biggest factor, but they weren't good outside of it also. So there are both. I see your point. Let's say, what do you think they could have maxed out with these injuries? What, 7 wins, maybe?
I think with these injuries, I think if they had hit 7, you'd say, wow, they did a really good job there, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I know a lot of people point to San Francisco, which was great. They had a great year. Mm-hmm. It's tremendous what they did. They had 6 wins last year because they had so many injuries.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? And so you can't just forget every other time they've gone, you know, where somebody goes through something and... But it was damn impressive what the 49ers did because that is really, really hard. But I think you look at like, I think it was also, and there's an indication of a couple things. One, some guys maybe not rising to the level they needed to yet. Some of their, you know, draft picks still developing, but also not at the level they needed yet. And then you can look at like the Niners. Again, I look at the Niners, like their roster's been built over a number of years compared to just 2 here. And you know what I mean? So like, were they in position to probably win more than 7 with all these injuries? No, they weren't.
So,
they didn't have the roster. But that to me would have been maxed out. And not just a 7, but or not like, you know, not like a game like yesterday, but maybe more competitive in some other games.
More so than
as much as the win total, but more just like could they have been more competitive in games against Detroit, Seattle? You know,
way too many blowouts, even with all the injuries.
Yep.
The curious decision to kind of go with Josh down the stretch and not give Hartman a look. I'll give my explanation, then you give yours. My explanation is they just know there's no future, like zero. They already know that Sam Hartman's not an NFL player. He's there for maybe coaching. Maybe he's, you know.
He's good in the QB room.
He's a good QB room guy. He's Jaden's guy. Like, they already know he's not an NFL quarterback. That's my answer.
The question we were asking last week was, then why is he on – why are you paying him on the practice squad?
Just because of that, all of those things.
Hire him as a coach.
Well, they'll do that eventually.
Yeah.
But that's what they're doing right now.
I don't think there's anything more than that.
I think
you put it at, you know, and why he's on the roster because, you know, he's a fourth QB and maybe you can see, does he develop at some point? Because I know like in training camp did not have a great summer, mm-hmm. but coming off the shoulder surgery. So mm-hmm. does that get better throughout the year? And maybe you can develop, because, you know, if you like him, like the offense, he's good in that. You're right. He's good in that room. He's tight with Jaden.
Right.
I don't know that you're going to keep him around just for that reason, because, like, there are other guys that Jaden
is close
to. You
get the benefit of the doubt maybe 5 years from now.
I also think Jaden is pretty much a guy that a lot of people can get closer to, because that's just his personality. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know that he needs just, oh, this guy is like his only, you know. But I think being good in that room, like, they really liked that room last year, and maybe you see that he can develop, and then maybe you see that he didn't develop enough.
And, John, even though yesterday's game mostly meaningless, it wasn't that for Josh Johnson. He was trying to get his second win ever as an NFL starter. And, look, at the age of 39, he's showing the entire league why he's had so many jobs and had so many stops and has been able to play in the league so long, because he's capable. He must be good in the quarterback room. Talk about Johnson, and do you think he has a future either here or with another team next year?
I mean, I'm not going to bet against that guy being on a roster.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's funny, because I was talking to him a little bit about this last week, just like how impressive it is to last as long as he has without ever being a full-time starter, mm-hmm. and how difficult that is. Think about a lot of guys who've been in the backups for a long time. Mm-hmm. They're either in one system forever, like Chase Daniel, and who barely played, but he was in one system and they liked him. And, you know, he was at Kansas City for such a long time. So they're either that, or they've been a former starter who has shown enough to, like, okay, well, you know, like Ryan Fitzpatrick was a guy who lasted, which was impressive, but he would start a lot and he would do enough to say, like, well, maybe he can start for us for a bridge, or he can back up. What Josh Johnson has done is incredible, because he's only started, what I think it was, like, what is 11th or 12th start yesterday.
Yeah.
And to do that at 39 it's impressive. And so, because you have to have something that teams want to say, like, what can he do? And he's a quick learner, but also, like, he's played in so many offenses, so you can get him in yours and get him up to speed.
And he won't embarrass you on the whole.
Right. And you're right. Exactly. And then the other part too, is when he was here the first time, 2018, and they went out and signed Mark Sanchez, Jay Gruden wanted Josh Johnson instead. And a big part of that too was, if nothing else, he can make a play when things break down, and Sanchez could not. And we saw that in the one game Sanchez started, and then quickly Josh Johnson was the starter after that. So that element, too, definitely helps as well. But, you know, his future here, I don't know. I do know, like I said, I mean, you know, he's a really good guy to have around.
He's a survivor, man.
Yeah, he's a survivor. Now, could you get a young guy in that third role? Yes, of course. I think that's what ideally you would have hoped Hartman would have elevated to. But that's why Josh Johnson has lasted. Like, you can see the emotion from him. That touchdown he scored yesterday was his first since 2018.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then the first touchdown pass since 21. So, like, the emotion with that, and the guys were very happy for him, because they know his journey. I mean, the dude played in, like, three different leagues outside the NFL, like the XFL, mm-hmm. UFL, the AAF, or whatever. You know,
it's so stuff,
like,
you've never heard, like, of. It's,
yeah,
crazy.
It's pretty cool what he's done.
John, let's talk about the most pressing thing to me, which I think is the coaching situation, specifically the OC, the DC. I assume they're going to, at this point, going to have to hire a new DC. Dan won't take it over, but who knows? But probably hire somebody, maybe a Raheem Morris, who knows? The intriguing one is the Kingsbury thing, especially because this is a team that, you know, going into the season, right, it generally was, they don't leak. This team doesn't leak. And all of a sudden now we're starting to hear stories. I don't know if they're true or not true. But Kingsbury's future appears to be very much up in the air. What is your best guess on what's going on there?
Yeah, and I don't know that any quote-unquote leaks came from here. I can't say that.
Mm-hmm.
So, because especially when it comes to Adam Peters, very tight-lipped. So, but here, there's a couple of things. One, first, the offense, the injuries impacted the offense more than anything else, mm-hmm. you know, much more than the defense. And I know the defense had injuries and all that, but
defense
just happened
just bad. Just bad.
Yeah, exactly. So, so you can look at that. I think it's hard to sit there and point to the coordinator and say, this was the problem with the offense this mm-hmm. year. Very hard. They were very good last year when they were healthy. And you know, is his offense for everybody? No, it's not. You know, for a variety of reasons, right? But there are definitely a lot of people who like it. And it's, you know what I mean? It's even in that building. And so I think the other, it's not a traditional offense. So if you want more, if you want to protect your quarterback more, you may want to, you know, maybe that's why you go in a different direction. And say that because, like, his offense is, it's RPO-based. So you have the run-pass option, but you also have quarterback-designed runs. That's why you're running out of the gun a lot of times. And, you know, if you want to protect Jaden Daniels or your quarterbacks, maybe you look for a different kind of system, right? That if that's what ultimately
happens. How
much happens.
Say do you think Jaden will have? The mom's clearly going on the record. She wants another Kingsbury year, which you assume it means Jaden is on board with that and would want that in a perfect world.
I believe he would be on board with that, but
right.
I don't want to put words in his mouth. But like that,
of course,
I don't.
How much
think
factor what, is that I, in Adam Peters' mind? I know you're guessing, but.
I think ultimately you have to do what you feel is best for the franchise. If you know what I mean, like I don't think you can go that route with that. Whatever the move is, it's got to be decided by like. Yes, I know he likes him.
Most
but
players tend to know the coaches that they've worked with because they know them. You know what
they
I mean?
They do, but there are. I would say this: there have been a couple coordinators here in the past where players were not very happy with. So,
right.
And a couple years ago, there was the case, but. You know, so I don't know that you can let him decide that at this point. If you feel like, yeah, I know your type, but just trust us. This is the best decision for you moving forward. Because like one thing I'd say about Jaden is I feel pretty confident he can operate, you know, in a couple different systems because it's just kind of the way he studies, the way he works, et cetera. I think he would be okay.
If you had to bet, would you bet on them moving on?
What's your prediction? Kingsbury back or is he?
Yeah,
is
just
he
at
gone?
The end of the day.
I don't like to predict unless I have stronger knowledge of what of like that happening. You know what I mean? Like, because I think that's difficult for me to do that. But I would say it's a decision they definitely have to make, and he will explore head coaching jobs for sure, and there will be a handful out there. Now, how high he is on those lists, it's hard for me to say, but I think he'll get some interviews, and then you have the decision to make. And then I think it could also be influenced by who else comes free, who else might be available that maybe you think, like if they think someone else is a better fit going forward, then that, you know, let's say Mike McDaniel comes through, whatever. Like if they felt like that was a better fit, maybe then you say, okay, then we can do this, you know? So, but I think I would say this, it's a decision they have to make. I don't think it's a slam dunk, like, oh, he's not getting the head coach job. Boom, here he comes. Right. I think there's still
a 50-50 deal. I'm trying to put you on something.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
that's probably fair.
Anything will be 50-50. Right. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, but I do think it's something that they would have to make. I don't know that it's at the point where you say like, oh, if he doesn't get it, he's gone. I haven't gotten that sense, right?
What other DCs besides Raheem Morris?
Jeff Ulbrich, who is in Atlanta as well, has experience with Quinn. I think you want to look at a guy who has some level of experience calling plays. That would be my sense, right? Now, does that automatically mean it's going to go that way? No, but it's that would be the...
What are those guys' schemes? Sense. How are they different from DQs?
Well, with Raheem and Ulbrich, they've been in his system. So, like, there's a familiarity there. Now, I don't think you should just – I think you have to get a guy in here that you think can be a damn good DC, right?
I might argue a different scheme.
Well, you could. And I think – so then my question would be, I know the Jim Schwartz, if he's available, Brian Flores, who has not yet, you know, received an extension from Minnesota.
Right.
The question I would have for them would be – you know, because like they do different things than what Washington has done. And so are they both comfortable being in business together, knowing that like this is not the way he's operated with his defense? Is he going to be okay with that? Right. Is it going to be in the heat of battle? Is it going to be okay?
Yeah.
Am I going to have to, so like, you know, if for a defensive coach to be with a defensive minded head coach it helps to have definitely have a similar vision. Right. I think the one thing with Quinn that you can look at over the years is he has adapted his defenses. Mm-hmm. So I think like he's open. I mean, he's done that 360 review of himself. He's open to change. Mm-hmm. But I do think like if you believe in what you're doing, and I don't know that the scheme was the issue here. I think it's within the scheme what is going on. You know what I mean? Like it's the attention to details. Do you have the players who adhere to those details, you know, that are good enough to adhere? Do you have players that can cover up mistakes? Jaden Daniels, I talked to somebody earlier this year, was like, Jaden covered up a lot of sins on their roster last year.
Right.
You know, but so, you know what I mean? You have that guy on defense who can do that. But John, they don't have that guy.
It needs to be a track record guy, though. This ain't the job for an up-and-comer.
No. That's right. That's why I say experienced play caller. Now, Seattle's defensive coordinator does not call the plays, and they're a very good defense. And he was someone who was interviewed here for the job before. Now, I don't know. I have no clue, like, if that would be a possibility. But, you know, you start looking at, like, who else would be out there that would be that could have that. But, you know, he hasn't called plays, but he's been in that role. But, you know, clearly Raheem would be a guy that you would look at because there's familiarity. And he's trusted him with that role before, and he did a good job as a DC and with the Rams. That's why he got a second chance as a head coach. So, you know, I think again, whether or not that happens, it clearly would make some sense. I don't think you want to hire him just for that because he's familiar. You have to hire him because he's really good, and I think Raheem does have a good track record in that role.
Yeah. All right, John, good stuff. We got to run. Appreciate the insight.
As always, man. We'll get you on throughout the offseason. Always enjoy having you on.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, JK.
A lot more fun to talk about the offseason stuff this year, but thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
Did put up the Junkies poll of the day, and it has to do with one of the topics we were talking about, Cliff Kingsbury. Do you want him to return? If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. The Junkies poll of the day is sponsored by Surfside. Use the code Junks at store.statesidevodka.com. You get 25% off select merch. EB's wearing a Stateside Vodka hoodie. They've got t-shirts, hats, and more. Use that code Junks at store.statesidevodka.com. Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator, do you want him back running the offense next season?
Up. And they stay there. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're live. Ashburn, Virginia, BigBear.ai Performance Center. Locker cleanout going on. All right, so we got to talk to a number of players already. I was kind of surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Locker room opened at 9:30, maybe 9:15 we were in there.
Yeah, I pulled up. I was like, what the hell are they giving out over here, government cheese? It's some damn cars in that parking lot today.
I think, you know, a lot of local media will travel to Philly because it's a pretty easy game. I was still kind of surprised to not see some of the folks that were – some people I thought would be in Philly weren't. But this, everybody comes to. And honestly, the biggest thing is Jaden Daniels will talk at some point today.
Mm-hmm.
A number of veterans already talked. Terry McLaurin, Mariota, Javon Kinlaw, Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel was asked about his future. And I thought, honestly, I grew to really like Deebo this year. His reputation with the media was not always, coming from San Fran, not always the best. And what I learned with Deebo, he was really insightful and cool when you asked him about somebody else. He's just a dude that doesn't really like talking about himself.
Mm-hmm.
But when you ask Deebo about the development of Bill or Jalen Lane or what it means to play alongside Terry, he would give you really good answers. Mm-hmm. And just as a human, I feel like that's kind of an admirable quality in a world where everybody loves talking about themselves.
Yeah. I just think that when you hear people say a person is a certain way in the media, I always want to know what kind of experience you've had with that person.
Right.
Okay, maybe you crossed that person and they came at you, and now you're putting out a word on them that they're bad. Let's be real. There's a lot of asses in the media, okay? And they come in with the mindset that I have a story to get, and they want you to do what they want you to do. Like last night, I was asking, listening to the show after the game, and this lady asked Aaron Rodgers about was he got another football game coming up. Oh, you going to ride off in the sunset after this? Did she say, well, I had to ask the question? No, you didn't have to ask the damn question. Okay? They still have another game. If this was his last game and he wasn't playing again, you can ask that question.
Yo, locker clean out is when you ask.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. So I heard a lot about D-Boy as well and had a chance to talk to him this year and then watch him. And I'm like, this dude right here is not what I've heard. And we've been hearing over the last few years or so, it's a bunch of people in San Francisco in the media that are worse than any player they ever tried to explain.
Yeah.
They try to describe. So it's weird to me. And I've been on both sides of it. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen more of the buttholes on this side of it than I see on in that play in the locker room. I'm going to be honest with you on that.
So I want to just have a bit of a conversation around tanking, because I know a lot of folks are mad that Washington didn't tank. And I think there's a number of ways that just shows the disconnect between NFL locker rooms and buildings and fans.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have an honest conversation about yesterday? They started a third-string quarterback, and he had two turnovers. They weren't exactly, like, if they were gung-ho about this thing, you think they don't go to Marcus? Hey, man, we really need you. You think you can gut this out?
Yeah.
Like, if you want to say late in this game, all right, you could just hand it off. You're down a touchdown in the second half. Just put it into C-Rod's belly. But, like, that's not fair to the players on the field.
It's not fair to the player, but what I hate about that, even that analogy, Jay, those same people who think that, if you do that, those same people are going to be bashing the hell out of the team today.
They started a third-string quarterback for the last two games. Like, it's not like they were making trades late in the year to try to bolster a – like, you remember what the Wiz did, and I hated when they did this, but they would fight like hell to get the 7 seed. And that's why eventually the whole fan base was like, tear it all down, and that's how we landed where we are, where we think the Wiz are back on the way up. Like, this team didn't do that.
No.
They weren't adding at the trade deadline. No. Maybe they could have sold more, but it seems like it's a little
understand,
unrealistic.
Football and hockey is different than the other two. There's just that's how it is. I know people see what basketball does, they see what baseball does, and they just say, well, you could do this. It's not that easy in those two sports to do something like that. You know, in hockey, hell, your star player is on the ice. He's not on the ice 50% of the time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so you can't do it in that. And in football, one guy can make a difference, but he doesn't make the difference as that one guy on basketball, that one guy that you probably get based. You get a damn good pitcher. Every time he pitches, you probably know you can win the game.
At least break a losing streak.
You know what
right?
I'm saying?
Isn't that what aces
do? In football, it's difficult. But I have sat here, and see, you know me, I'm kind of like a mad scientist, the way I act. I have sat here and listened to, so I go online sometimes, and I like to follow when the people that makes the most noise, okay? And the same damn person that's arguing against something 1 week, the next week he's arguing for it. You know why? Because that's the side that everybody else is going against now. So he wants to just jump on the other side. I have gotten to the point where I don't care what they're arguing about anymore. I don't care what half of them want on the media, social media. Because you know what? They're going to change it anyway. They just want to be on the side that's the loudest. So one finger salute to you. That's the way I am with it. I've gotten to the point now where, dude, I see the same people arguing against stuff that they have been saying that they don't want to see. And then all of a sudden they get it one time, and then they are all back and forth, like wishy-washy. And that's the problem with this damn social media thing, where we have people who are making this noise. Well, you don't know who the hell they are. But if you just do some of the things like I do, follow their little, find out their name, and just check it out. Do it a couple of times. You'll be amazed.
Now, you can point to a difference in Philly had Devontae Smith out there early, and he was chopping it up, and then they pulled him, right?
Yeah,
Philly also has a game to play.
They had him out there. He needed 40 yards, and they went and got his money.
Right. Could you have pulled Terry and Debo in the second half? Sure. But You know what Debo's trying to
do? Terry and Debo.
Debo was also trying to hit incentives. And he's showing all of the league, 32 teams, yo, I'm still running hard.
Did you watch Terry and Debo in the second half? Did Terry and Debo look like they didn't want to be out there?
Right.
You know, the thing about some guys, the mindset is, when you step on the field, I'm here to play. That's just what they do. You know, what I was, if they told me I had to dress out, I didn't want to go in the game for a play, a quarter, and then come out. If I'm dressed out, I am ready to go into the damn game. And my coaches knew, if after you took me out the game, you might want to take my equipment away from me because I'm going to be trying to get back out there.
Also, dude, if you don't think they did a proper job tanking, should we also keep in mind they sat Jaden for the last month of the season when the head coach at one point said he could have gone back in? Then they decided we're shutting him down, and they said it's part team, part medical. Like, they made a pretty big damn decision in mid-December, and that just gets glossed over.
That doesn't make a difference, Jay, because that does not work with my argument I want to have.
Right.
You know, and that's how people are, man. Listen, I have listened to so many people make this whole thing about them. I don't give a damn about them. I give a damn about this team getting better. And what I see is look. For what it's worth, there are some guys that are going to take something from that yesterday, and they're going to take it into this offseason, and it's going to jumpstart them to something else. I had a chance to talk to C-Rod coming off the field after the game. And just looking in that dude's face, I watched this dude some years prior where he was confused, didn't know if he was doing anything right. I was like, so what's next, bro? And he's like, man, can't wait to get back at it because now I know what to do. You see him like when you came to me, you said, man, C-Rod, he came back. He's lost weight. He's faster. And then you watch him the whole year. He had something to take from that yesterday because when you watched the game yesterday, and I love both of them, Bill and C-Rod. But in a game like that, when it's cold like that, and the offensive line is blocking you to get 3 yards, 4 yards, C-Rod's running style was better for that.
Sure.
Because C-Rod comes downhill. If you block three, he gets four. You block one, he gets two, three. Bill is the guy who's going to come in there and try to look to jump. And eventually, you're going to be blocked for five, and you're going to get two, get three. And he has the breakaway speed. But he also seems better when somebody batters him up a little bit. Then he comes in and cleans it up. Those two guys could be very damn good moving for your future.
C-Rod, restricted free agent. We'll see what his future is. As far as, like, building the momentum from yesterday going forward, this team is going to look so dramatically different that I'm not sure it really carries over. But for the dudes leaving it all on the field yesterday, I watched Nick Allegretti, who's been really valuable to this team for 2 years. And what'd he say? Walk right past this beat. He's like, man, it wasn't pretty, but we'll take the win. Like, there is value for those players. I don't think... For me, going from 5 to 7 in a draft that is not top-heavy talent-wise and definitely isn't top-heavy quarterback draft-wise, if this was 2 years ago, the Caleb, Jaden, Drake, Penix, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix quarterback draft, that's a different scenario. 5 to 7 carries real value.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe Ty Simpson has a hell of a combine and all of a sudden there's interest in him. I just don't think the quarterbacks are going to determine the top of this draft. You should lose a lot of sleep over 5 to 7. If you look at the more modern draft value charts, there's not a gigantic delta in 5 to 7. A lot of the old school draft value charts, the Jimmy Johnson era, there was no rookie wage scale. So, like, the money attached to those first round picks was so significant. You had these holdouts, you had all this stuff. Like, the Jimmy Johnson draft value chart is from 1989. Like, I think it's okay to recognize that is modernized.
I think the way people are looked at, drafted, scouted, all that stuff has changed so drastically since Jimmy Johnson. And look, it worked when Jimmy Johnson did something in his day. Jimmy Johnson left coaching and didn't come back to it.
He came back. Came back with the Dolphins.
When he left coaching at that point, he ain't come back. Okay? Because things got better on the other side. I don't care what his chart was. Because when Jimmy Johnson was in this thing, Joe Gibbs was just coaching football. He was winning. What's my man up there? And Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells felt a certain way. He just felt that you had to be a manly man to go play some football. He won. So everybody has a different way. It's not, this is not a one-size-fits-all type thing. And that's where we get to a point where if somebody does something, oh, we got to go do it. No. I've said it for the last 8, 9, 10 years. Everybody said the league is a passing league. But there's always somebody who can run the damn football very effectively. And they don't have to throw the ball around the yard too damn much. If I can run the ball and you can't stop that, why would I throw the football if you got a better quarterback? My quarterback can't throw it like yours, so I'm going to try to throw the ball like your quarterback? The problem is we keep trying to follow what everybody else does. Why not follow what works for your football team?
Quick break. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. We're going to open these phone lines up at some point. Nobody go anywhere.
The Commanders get a win in Week 18 against a Philadelphia Eagles team that was playing backup, second and third stringers, a la the preseason. In fact, the only starter of note that I really saw at all was DeVonta Smith, who in 6 plays of offense went 3 for 52 as a receiver to get him to 1,000 yards, and then they immediately pulled him out of the game.
He's so fast in general, but that was even faster than he is. Like, the instant he got his 1,000 yards, they're like, sit up quick! Like, they were, and you never saw him again. He was gone.
It was funny because they kept talking on the broadcast. They're like, must be out there to try to get 1,000 yards. I was like, in the game? Because he's on pace.
Seriously.
I mean, he was going for 15-yard out routes, just wide open. They missed him once, or else he would have had 70 yards on 6 plays.
He'd have been done on the first drive.
But 3 for 52, he goes to the sideline, and at that point it becomes the Tank Bigsby, Jahan Dotson, Britton Covey show for the Philadelphia Eagles. And against those backups, the second and third stringers, for an Eagles team that I think fairly inexplicably, by the way, with a chance to be the 2 seed in the NFC.
They didn't seem interested in that at all.
They were definitely not interested. They didn't let anybody play. I am sure Nick Sirianni's getting beat up pretty good in Philly today, and understandably so. But they said, we're all set. We're looking forward to the playoffs. And they actively did what they could to keep as many important players off the field as possible. Washington, meanwhile, did the antithesis of that. And they got win number 5 out of 17. They go 5-12 on the season. And they were led by a 39-year-old journeyman quarterback in stop 14 in a win over Philadelphia to get to 5-12 and to fall 2 picks lower in the draft order. Deron Payne played very well at D-tackle. Terry McLaurin led the way with 57 receiving yards and another 4 PIs drawn. Would have had a 100-yard day if you add up all of the penalty yardage. Some of the best players for Washington, not just played, but played very well as they got one more win. And I heard Dan Quinn talking about this and some of the players talking about how meaningful it was with the hours that they put in, that they got to have one more post-game rah-rah fun evening together. And I'm happy for them, legitimately, because they work really hard and that's cool. But there's a very, very different thing between being able to be happy for all of the staffers and the employees and the players and the coaches that left it all on the field correctly and did everything they could, and still acknowledging that what happened yesterday was actually worse for this team's offseason and worse for this team's future. There's no benefit to them getting a win as a group that will not exist together ever again after they left that locker room last night.
Yeah, I think you said it very well. This isn't a college program where there's 90 kids or 100 kids on the roster and you can play the walk-on. You can have a Rudy Ruediger moment, you know what I mean? Where some guy that all he's ever done is practice for you and he gets into a game and tries to hit a 3 or take a charge or something like that. This is just a different animal. There was a nice moment where London Fletcher presented Bobby Wagner with the commemorative game ball where you've got your 2,000 tackles and that sort of stuff is neat and good for those guys. But I borrow from one of your expressions, that doesn't put Triscuit crackers in my stomach. Like, to me, you lose those privileges. When you go 4-12 and you bring me a disaster, I don't care about you anymore. Neither does the organization, by the way. They're going to move on from you. There'll be nice moments. There'll be you know, the bro hugs where you shake a guy's hand, pull him in close, do the kind of the half bear hug and, you know, say really appreciate you and a lot of eye contact and, you know, really nice words, but they're gone. Most of these guys are gone. And if they had won the game with Kane Medrano playing 70% of the snaps, or Jordan McGee or Tyler Owens getting more than 0% of snaps on defense. Now, again, it's not as if they've got a bunch of young players waiting in the wings. They don't. It's a huge issue, I might add. But this was the same group that brought you 4-12 doing the same things ask them to get timeouts right once before the season ends. Ask them to. They can't.
They ran out of their second half timeouts with over 10 minutes left in the game.
Has anyone jumped off sides yet? Excuse me, a false started yet? They lead the league in that.
They called timeout out of a TV timeout, out of a stoppage and change of possession. I've never seen that in my life before. Not once. By the way, Ben Sinnott, who had 2 catches for 3 yards.
Welcome to the party, buddy.
So there we
Great
go.
Great job. That's 2 more.
2 false starts on the goal line.
Oh, I was going to play a game. What did they have more of, false starts or catches? And it was the same. It was a trick question, and it's depressing.
On the goal line.
On the goal line.
At the 1-yard line on different possessions.
Yep.
He had false starts. Nightmare.
Yeah, one was for Kyle Juszczyk, one was for George Kittle, his comps. Yeah, but look at the timeouts. Washington calls a timeout, and then, all right, let's draw something up. Incomplete pass. Let's draw something up. Fumble. Let's draw something up. Touchdown by Philadelphia. Embarrassing. I mean, this was the normal pathetic march of the incompetence that they've been doing for the last several months when they started 3-2, and everything since then has been a god-awful train wreck on stilts. They did the thing that they've been doing all year, but this one was good enough when you found your true north or whatever the hell I'm supposed to believe. If you're excited, God bless you.
Good enough, it's important to note.
Yeah.
Because the other team benched all of their really good players and actively did what they could to not win the game. That's why it was good enough. But the reaction to my reaction is confounding. And when I say my reaction, the reaction of anybody who saw what happened yesterday, and this is not me being mad at Dan Quinn or upset with players, but just the sheer acknowledgement that that win was costly and not helpful, which is correct, irrefutably so, by the way. It is just a fact that having the 5th pick is better than having the 7th pick. That is not a debate. That is not like saying Italian food is better than Chinese food. Pick 5, more valuable than pick 7. Fact. Sharpie. Done. End of sentence. They had the 5th pick, had they have just lost the game, and then they ended up with the 7th pick. Now, here's what people can't figure out. It's really twofold, okay? This is the part that I think people can't quite grasp. Number one, this is the really, really easy sentence, so this one will be really succinct.
Okay.
Yesterday hurt more than it helped. We can all acknowledge that. Not all of us, I guess, because people say, the win helps the culture, the brotherhood, whatever. Not a thing. The win hurt more than it helped in the grand scheme of the assets that you've got a very finite amount of them. Picks, money, free agency, draft. Your haul, when my kids get home on Thanksgiving and pour out their candy, the stuff they're pouring out of the bag on the floor, that loot, that haul, all those assets, yours are a little bit worse after the win yesterday for this offseason and this very finite time you get to improve your roster. That part not debatable. So we'll move on from that point. That's number one. But number two, and this is where people can't quite grasp this, we should all agree with that point. And then if we want to have a disagreement over whether or not the team should make an attempt to make it easier to lose at the front office level with who they play and who they sit, that's debatable. But people will say, teams don't do that. They sure as hell do. Constantly. Max Crosby got in a fight with the Raiders over it. He was furious. They wouldn't let him play at the end of the year. Correctly, by the way, so that they could get the number one overall pick. The Giants sat their only good offensive weapon in their passing game, Theo Johnson. Now, they happened to get out-batted by, you know, the Cowboys, who lost yesterday to New York. But Theo Johnson was listed as out with a sickness. Took to social media before the game to go, just so you guys know, I'm not actually sick. Didn't play in the game, though. That's the number one target for the Giants, who, by the way, the last 2 years have constantly screwed up their draft position and paid for it. They would have Drake May or Jaden Daniels right now if they didn't win these useless Week 17 and Week 18 games that keep Joe Shane around, that kept Brian Daboll around longer, that hurt that organization. But the thing that people can't figure out, Danny, is this idea that when I say it hurt, not helped, to win that game, it's as if I'm saying that the players should go out there and purposely fumble, or that Terry McLaurin with a ball coming at him should slap it to the ground or drop it. It's not what anybody's saying. No one is ever talking about players throwing a game, players not trying to win, or coaches even not trying to win. You're coaching, you're calling a play that you think works, you're trying to win from 1-4. But the point is, your 39-year-old Josh Johnson shouldn't have been the quarterback. Sam Hartman should have been. Terry McLaurin, who went for 57 yards and had another 50-plus in penalty yards that he drew, should not have been out there the entire game. Jacoby Jones should have been out there. Some wide receiver like River Craycraft.
River Craycraft.
Should have been out there. River Jetski. Somebody else should be out there.
Aqua Sox Craycraft.
Right. That's how you do it. How on earth could you possibly lose? You got to try. Here's how. Daron Payne, you're not playing the second half. Go watch Ricky Barber play defensive tackle from our practice squad. That's how you do it.
Yeah, this part confuses so many people, and they argue past the point. You will never hear me. Well, I'll do some shtick about it where I say, oh my God, the Wizards are in danger of not being at the top of the lottery. I'm worried about that. Ha ha ha, LOL. I am not upset when Trey Johnson is sniping threes from a step inside half court and Alex Saar is rim running and blocking every shot and dunking on everyone. You will never catch anyone with a brain being upset when your kids win games. You'll catch me pretty pissed off when it's Trevor Rees and Jeff Green doing it for a 31-win team. Can you see the difference? Can you? I bet you can if you try, but you don't want to because you got a cliche in your mind. You got Herm Edwards in your brain about playing to win the games and so forth. A pro athlete doesn't have to worry about it. All you do is the best you can do every single time you get a chance. I'm in the game. Great. I'm going to go do the best I can. That's awesome. And you should. If Kane Medrano had 10 tackles yesterday, I'm going, dude, how fun was that? How great is that just to see this guy? If Tyler Owens is a wrecking ball, is a Miley Cyrus song, because he's, you know, playing close to the line of scrimmage as an off-ball linebacker and a safety and everything in between. I'm going, dude, they might have something here. If Sam Hartman plays well and you win, you don't apologize for that. That's the process. That's what rebuilding looks like. Literally, that's it. This isn't same thing they did for 13 straight weeks to bring you 4-12. The 4-12 happened yesterday, but you guys didn't notice it because Philadelphia laid down. Fine.
I got a lot of tweets from people like this one. This is... nobody's cursing, so I can read this one. It's pretty easy. This guy responds to me saying that the win wasn't helpful in the grand scheme of things. And he said, loser talk.
Mm.
And that's how I would sum up most of the people that I'll say don't understand why it's better to have the fifth pick than the seventh pick. But I guess more accurately and more interestingly, just don't agree with the premise, which is fine. This guy said, loser talk. So it is loser talk to suggest that a grown-up somewhere along the way should be taking 26 and 27 as the prioritization over one day in January of 2026 and one empty calorie win. That's loser talk. I disagree. I think it's loser talk. I think it's cringe, as the kids say.
Mm.
I think it's completely cringeworthy when I see Commanders fans saying, we got back at them for the two-point conversion, high-fiving, as you just went 5-12 and threw up all over yourselves for 4 months.
They got that playoff game to get ready for. Oh.
That's embarrassing to me.
Yeah.
That's cringeworthy to me. Mm-hmm. It is cringeworthy to me to go, we got the last laugh on Nick Sirianni. No, you didn't, Goose. They're going to the playoffs. He benched all of his starters and didn't give a damn about the game. He played one guy for a handful of plays. He torched Washington a bunch.
Yeah, to get some numbies on your ass.
And then they pulled him out on the sideline.
Yeah.
So, no, you want to talk about loser talk? Like, so my kid is 5. He was wearing his Jaden Daniels jersey last night. 4 o'clock starts, a little tough. Bedtime's right around 7. Game was super boring. Terrible week 18 football. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was like holding my eyes open.
You know.
So my kid falls asleep
on the
couch.
This is work.
And like he keeps looking at the score. I don't know if he quite gets how everything works because he kept going like, oh, we still have the lead. It's like, yeah. It's halftime.
No, no updates.
Right. So anyway, so he's like, it's 17-13 or whatever the score was. So anyway, he falls asleep. So when he wakes up at the end of the game, I'm taking him upstairs. Did we win? I said, yeah, buddy, we won. He goes, yes. He goes, we beat the Eagles. I said, we sure did.
We got him.
He's like, aren't you happy, Dad? And I just said, to avoid a long conversation, yeah, bud, love to win. I'm not going to ruin his time on December 24th.
Sure, his child wonderment.
You know, I'm not going to sit down and have that conversation about what's ahead that night. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
I'm going to say, yep, buddy, we won. He's 5. He doesn't get the context or the nuance of the draft and pick 5 and pick 7. So if you want to live that blissful life of that 5-year-old where all wins are equal and did we win or did we lose, that'll determine my mood. God bless you. You have it. I'll carry you up to bed. I'll lay you down and tuck you in and I'll say you won, buddy. You'll want.
You got him today, pal.
I'll rub your head.
You got him back for that 2-point conversion.
And he'll go, so we can beat the Eagles in a fight? And I'll go, yes, we can. We
sure can, buddy.
We did it today.
We did it.
That's you, loser talk guy. You're the we can beat the Eagles in a fight guy, loser talk guy. I'm trying to get the best pick possible. Who's loser talk? I'll carry you up to bed. Just let me finish the show, and then I'll get you into your bed.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It scraps from the table. But listen, there are, I think you said, again, you started this off saying this really, really well. Individually, I am really happy for Bobby Wagner. Getting flowers, again, gold jacket, superstar, all he's ever done is the right thing.
The man.
All he does is play hard. What an influence. What a great dude. Hooray for Bobby Wagner. Now, the macro is really, you didn't roll out anything different. This has been my number one gripe overall with this Dan Quinn season and this staff. It's, now we're good. Keep sending them up. Keep getting after it the exact same way for months on end while you're turning in one of the worst years in recent memory.
They decided somewhere along the way getting Bobby Wagner to 2,000 tackles was more important.
Yeah, we ain't changing.
Than seeing what Kane Medrano is. And that, if that's the case, he's your heart and soul glue guy, and that's fine.
Good. That's one example.
I don't even have a problem with that. But all of their decisions stacked up that way. Hilarious tweet here from Mark who says, there's a flaw in your argument that you're not acknowledging. They won the NFC East tournament. That's a great, great bit.
Did they? What did they go? 2-2 down the stretch?
Yeah.
In the NFC's tourney? Two.
They won the tourney.
Did they win it, though?
Can we get a banner made?
Did they place?
I'm not even doing a bit. Who would make us a banner to put in the studio? 2026. It's like the NBA Cup. I want one. I'm going to make one. Toby, get on that. See how we can make a banner for the studio.
Okay, so they beat the Giants. That's 1-0. Yes. Lost to the Eagles, 1-1. Lost to the Cowboys, 1-2. 2-2 down the stretch. Is that better than everyone else in the NFC East tournament?
In the last month, no one had more than that. We won the NFC East tournament.
Dude, we might have won it.
Hashtag brotherhood.
We might have won it, bro.
Actually, I take back everything I said. This was a great year. I was thinking for a second I was upset about how it went. Now I'm happy. They won the NFC East tournament.
Welcome back on a Victory Monday presented by Chiniga Mayos, a 2025 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. I know it's 2026. I'm assuming there's still a top workplace.
Definitely.
But the buzz line is a 2025 top workplace.
We're just going to make it 2026, JP.
Yeah, just switch the number.
We're going to edit. Journalistic editing.
So when we were talking to John Keim, we talked a little bit about Cliff Kingsbury, and there have been some reports that the Commanders might move on from Cliff Kingsbury. There's also speculation that Cliff might move on, find another job, maybe a head coaching job. Who knows? We put it up as our poll of the day. Early voting, 2/3 of Commanders fans want him back. Do you think Cliff Kingsbury should be back, and do you want him back? This is where the offense finished this year. 22nd in the league at 318 yards per game. Passing-wise, they finished 24th. Running the football, they were 4th in the NFL. And points per game, they dropped to 20.9 points per game, 22nd in the league. I think it's a bit unfair if you just move on
from
Cliff Kingsbury based on year one, very successful offense, year two. You don't have your starting quarterback most of the time.
What do you mean, Jason? You got to throw the rankings out
because he didn't have his quarterback.
Have his guys.
Yeah,
it's hard to judge him when Jaden missed a big chunk of the season.
Where were his rankings last year when they won 12 games?
Super high,
right? Mm-hmm. So I throw the rankings out, and I don't know if he'll get a head coaching job. Why would a team hire an OC that won 5 games?
Because I just don't see that. They'll say, we throw that out. They know that they had injuries and look what they did.
Yeah, I just don't know if he's...
Usually
the OC is, if he's one of the highest ranked OCs from one of the really good teams, those are the ones that get plucked first.
Yes. But there's some speculation...
that are chaotic?
I don't think the Raiders would want him, but I think there's some speculation that a team like the Titans would want him because he's worked with a quarterback like Cam Ward before when he's worked with Kyler Murray and even Jaden Daniels.
Because there's going to be at least 5 openings, right? Atlanta, the Giants, Titans.
Falcons. Yeah, you already said them.
Vegas. I'm assuming Pete Carroll's not going to survive after this year.
No, he's gone.
Arizona has to, they have to part ways with Jonathan Gannon, right? Like,
should happen. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen
so
today.
I think there are going to be plentiful, at least interview opportunities.
You
for
wouldn't go
Kingsbury.
Back to Arizona, though, would he?
No.
That would be a great story.
Okay, cross Arizona off the list.
That'd be a great story.
I mean,
got rehired.
If I'm these other teams, I'm going to at least have him in for an interview. I'm going to inquire.
Oh, do you think he should be back here in Washington?
Yes. I think he deserves another year with Jaden if Jaden can stay healthy.
EB, are you a Kingsbury guy?
Yes.
You had him on probation after one game last year.
I'm kind of on the fence on it. I might actually lean towards I'd like maybe an experienced, fresh, different person that maybe doesn't expose Jaden quite as much.
I've said I want them under center more, but I think he's capable of tweaking the offense himself to do it. It's not fair. He didn't have his starting quarterback for most of the season. How many games did Jaden Daniels finish that he started?
Four.
Think about that. Yeah, when your starting quarterback finishes four games.
I'm not doing it because
games,
of this year of then, their production. I would do it because I need Jaden to be more available, so I might need a different thought process.
I'm not disagreeing with that. Now, that mostly falls on Jaden.
I'm not sure. I think it falls on the offensive philosophy.
I think, Terry missed a ton of time, and we saw the difference in the offense when Terry McLaurin was on the field versus off the field.
I like continuity. I can't have Jaden Daniels going into year three, a critical year for him, after missing so much time in year two, learning a new offense. Even though he's clearly an intelligent guy that can digest
a
new offense.
I'm
not worried about that. I'm worried about him just being comfortable in the offense. There's a difference between learning it and being comfortable in it.
I just don't need him.
But how about him being available? Yeah. And there might be an offense where he's less exposed.
I agree with that. But I think Kingsbury could have him under center a little bit more because they do it at times. That's what boggled my mind. When they would have him under center and run play action, it was largely successful. They just don't do it that much.
Cliff
and I do think having him in that shotgun all the time exposes him more.
I mean, he's done interviews. He says he just doesn't. I mean, I flat out said it. I think it was on last week. He just doesn't think it's that important.
1-800-636-1067. Are you a Cliff guy?
Yeah, I like Cliff.
You're a Cliff guy.
Just give him better players and a healthy quarterback.
I think I might want somebody different. If you bring Cliff back, I know he's creative, but I might want somebody who doesn't expose him quite as much.
I do think that Jaden would thrive in a Shanahan-type system.
Well, definitely if Shanahan was coaching him.
Where they're running rollouts like the way that they do there.
Yeah, I mean, they use their tight ends differently. Their formations are crazy. So much motion.
Well, their tight ends are better, too. I mean, they have George Kittle.
Well, true.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. I just think that I think he'll be back. But again, you've got to judge him on the statistics of a starting quarterback for at least most of the year and better players around that quarterback, including receiver.
But maybe you do put some culpability on Cliff Kingsbury for Jaden's injuries. I don't know. It sounds like you're doing that, EB. I would put more of it on, I do think the offense is part of it, but I put more of it on Jaden learning to avoid those injuries.
Though that is definitely a part of the equation, a massive part of the equation. But I think also another part of the equation could just be a system where he's overall not quite as exposed as much.
Yep. I don't disagree with that. All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-636-1067. You can also vote at Junks Radio on our poll of the day. Do you want Cliff Kingsbury to return?
All right, let's go to Rick in D.C. Rick, you know what? Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year to all of you.
Same.
Yeah. I say thumbs down. I want him gone.
Wow.
All right.
Why? And I say that, simply because I think one of you said, you know, I think that he doesn't want to. I don't think he really wants to really run the ball, and I don't think, and he doesn't really want.
They were
to,
like, what did they finish in rushing?
Fourth.
They're fourth in Arizona rushing.
He actually loves running the ball.
They run the ball. That's
a lot
incorrect.
Of that is the quarterback, but still,
they can run it a little bit more, and he needs to put JD more under center.
Okay. Okay.
One thing about running the football more is when you're trailing games by 20 points, which happened quite often this year, it's hard to just hand the ball off over and over again.
Yeah. 100%.
Game circumstances make you pass the ball.
Listen, I'm a dope. I know I'm a dope when it comes to like X's and O's football wise. 100%. When I get down close to the goal line or whatever, I'm not always looking to pound it, especially after the stuff is on first down. I'm kind of okay with I think we should be able to find somebody open in two or three pass attempts. And then everyone else just wants to pound it every time. I'm kind of okay with just passing it.
I mean, there have been situations in games where I felt like they should have run the ball in goal line situations.
That's what I'm speaking to.
But overall, and I remember Jason talking about this beforehand, I think there's a difference in perception versus reality with Cliff Kingsbury. People are just in this mindset that he's this air raid guy that throws the ball every down, and that's not the reality
of
his
case.
Tenure with the Commanders.
Well, people don't watch the games if they think that.
All they gotta do is look at the numbers, but they don't look at the numbers.
In Cliff Kingsbury's 2 years, he's finished third in rushing yards. I'm talking about as a team, and fourth.
Right. Mm-hmm. Two top five performances.
Yeah, they run the ball.
They do. The problem.
I mean, the quarterback runs it.
The quarterback runs for a third of it, or whatever. I mean, the quarterback gets a lot.
The quarterbacks combined this year are like another running back. Yeah.
I mean, hell, even yesterday they rushed for 150 some yards.
That's JD's strength. Yeah.
What did Bill end up with in yards?
I have to pull it up.
Close to 800.
Yeah. So
rookie season.
But I think the argument could be, and it's not my argument, could be, is he hasn't had a 1,000-yard rusher.
805.
So they're like the argument would be. Yeah, they run the football. They finish fourth, but right. It is mostly the quarterback. Give me their running back that goes for 1,000 yards, which isn't that difficult.
The answer to that would be, does it matter? Well, it may matter if you got a spindly quarterback. It might. If you got Josh Allen, it might not.
Right.
All right, let's go to Andre, Upper Marlboro. Andre, what's up, man? You're on with the Junkies. Happy New Year, bud.
What's up, Dre?
Hey, Happy New Year, fellas. Hey, man, look. I say stick with Kingsbury at least one more year, maybe two. And I think you guys touched on it, and I think some of those other callers aren't wrong about putting him under the center and running play action. The thing that people are missing is last year those things worked for us because the running game was good. He had his receivers in camp and from the first game in the season. This year we came into the season missing people. The running game wasn't what it was because – part of the reason was they were dropping the ball in key situations, and they couldn't run the ball the way people are thinking because they weren't keeping defenses honest with the pass game that they didn't have. So I think there was certain circumstances that played into it, and yesterday I think was just one of those things. I don't know if guys are planning to make sure they be on the team next year, but for some reason yesterday, even with a few mistakes, as a whole, it looks like those guys were playing. So I can't put it all on Cliff.
All right, fair. Definitely fair. Thank you,
I've never heard so much criticism over a team that's run for basically 135 rushing yards per game, that the rushing game is subpar or it's not glamorous because it's Bill, a seventh-round pick.
Yeah.
You're cobbling it together with the quarterbacks. Chris Rodriguez, there's nothing special about it.
You're hitting exactly on my point. That's why I've always said they like the running back room. And you have argued in the past that they want to upgrade it.
Now, I think they
always want to upgrade, but that room, exactly to your point you just said,
they need a receiving component out of it, though.
They don't have that.
They don't have – McNichols is kind of that guy, but he's not very good at it.
You don't think Bill can catch?
I think he can. They don't throw him the ball.
They've never thrown the ball.
Yeah, but okay.
I think he probably – like I said this 2 weeks ago. I said he should get a jugs machine – and catch 1,000 balls a day during the offseason.
Yeah, maybe
1,000 balls a day. Just upgrade that part of your game.
Yeah.
But there's a reason they don't throw to him.
Right, because they can throw to McNichols.
He probably never has demonstrated that ability yet, but he may be able to. I mean,
before he got
hurt, he's
got
to work on it in the offseason.
They did that to Eckler.
Yeah.
They peppered him.
I think they're going to add to the RB room.
I think they are too.
Not saying they're going to add a big name guy in free agency or draft a guy high. I think they're going to add to it.
But who are they going to get rid of then?
Well, McNichols and Rodriguez are both free agents. I mean, who knows?
Maybe they'll go somewhere else. Okay.
1-800-636-1067. Talking about Cliff Kingsbury and the Commanders offense, do you want him running the show again next season as the offensive coordinator?
Cakes, we got a W. I want to hear the music.
I played it at the beginning.
You can vote at Junks Radio or give us a call at 1-800-636-1067. That's right. It is a Victory Monday. Presented by Chenega Mios, a 2026 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.
So last week, Pete in Bethesda said, Kevin, did you hear Cliff Kingsbury say he doesn't believe in quarterbacks being under center? That's it for me. I'm done with him and this offense if he doesn't understand the benefits of the quarterback being under center. We need a new offensive coordinator. His offense stunk this year, and he's stuck on clueless and stubborn. So we've got a lot on the Cliff Kingsbury situation. By the way, today at 5 o'clock, and I'm assuming we will carry it live here on the Team 980, a season-ending press conference with Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. So we will have a lot to react to on tomorrow's show from the season ender. Today is locker cleanout day. It's exit interview with the players day. So it's a busy, busy day out at the park. And it begins, you know, today, an off season that will be crucial for this team. You know, it's year three of Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, etc. And at this point, they're 12-5 and then 5-12, although they did have two playoff wins, including one playoff loss last year. That does count for something for me, anyway. That might just be me. But big offseason. You know, I tweeted this out at the end of the game that, to me, it starts, it continues, and it ends with defense, because this was the worst defensive football team in my, you know, going back to the early 70s of following this team religiously. This was the worst. I mean, you might want to bring up 2016. 2016 was bad. One of the worst third down and long defenses. I think it was the worst in NFL history to that point in the Super Bowl era. But this defense did not do one thing well, and did everything poorly. Everything. It does not take away, and I have been on this more than a lot of you have been, I get what they missed with all of the injuries, you know? What was the number yesterday on the broadcast? 83 week one starter games missed, NFL high. That's the thing, is that when you talk about games missed, it's one thing, but starters games missed being an NFL high, that's where, you know, we've talked about it all year. That was the difference with their decimation, you know, from injuries season. It wasn't, you know, backups and backups to the backups. It was all of their best players that kept going down. But still, that defense was never going to be good. You saw signs of it, you know, early on when they were healthy, like the Atlanta game. And I know Dietrich Wise wasn't there. And Dorrance Armstrong was a big loss. And they were much worse after Dorrance Armstrong's exit than they were before. But it's going to be quite the offseason. And I'm telling you, man, looking at the league, and the league changes every year pretty much. But you can't suck on defense and be a threat this time of year. You just can't. They were last year. They were a threat despite a bad defense. But they got a little bit fortunate, you know, during the regular season, and then even in the postseason, where they faced teams that were banged up and not a completely 100%. And then we saw it catch up to them in the NFC Championship game. But anyway, back to Cliff, and this idea that many of you have, that you'd be thrilled if the team moved on from him. And by the way, I think they're two separate conversations. Like, for me, I can prefer a different style of offense, but also say very clearly, Cliff Kingsbury knows what he's doing. I mean, last year actually did happen. So, Pete's email, and many others like it, referred to an exchange last week with John Keim. I think it was with John. God, man, I'm forgetting my favorite people on the beat and wanting to give them full credit for the question. But I'm pretty sure it was Keim who kind of asked, and it could have been Ben. Could have been Ben, too. Whatever. Not important to you guys. Understood. This was Cliff Kingsbury answering a question about just the style of offense and the under center trend this year. You know, this year was a year in which we saw the best teams in the league, or most of them, be primarily more under center than a lot of the teams that didn't perform well, like Washington, who was dead last in under center percentage in usage. Here's what Cliff said last week.
Yeah, I have a different philosophy. I mean, we've been more with Josh, obviously, and Marcus. There's more of a comfort level, but I'm not of that where you have to be under a certain amount of times. I just have never bought into that.
So, you know, that got a lot of people, you know, fired up. A bit of, you know, I wouldn't call it a major firestorm on social media, but at least a mini firestorm about him at the very end saying, I just have never bought into that. You know, the whole league's, you know, seemingly, and it's not the whole league, but you know how these things get carried away. A lot of the really good teams are under center more than the teams that aren't so good. By the way, it's still not at a majority percentage. But needless to say that when he said at the end, I just have never bought into that, that you have to be under center for a certain amount or a certain percentage of the time. Got a lot of you experts out there fired up. And Pete, you know, saying, did you hear Cliff Kingsbury say he doesn't believe in quarterbacks being under center? Well, Pete, that's not what he said. He didn't say, I don't believe in quarterbacks being under center. You know, you guys have to just, you know, calm down a little bit and not exaggerate what you think you're hearing to the point where it becomes not recognizable. He said, I'm not of that ilk where you have to be under center a certain amount of times. I've just never bought into that. He didn't say he doesn't believe in quarterbacks being under center. It's not what he said. Also, real quickly, Pete, their offense actually didn't stink this year. You know, that's the irony of this. Without his starting quarterback, his starting running back, his wide receiver one, his wide receiver two, his wide receiver three, his best offensive guard for the first six games of the season, they finished pretty much in the middle of the pack across the board on most of the advanced numbers. I bet you guys didn't even know that. Did you know that they were seventh in the league in red zone offense this year? So the offense actually didn't stink. But look, I'm not about to make the case that it was anywhere near what it was last year. But do you know why it wasn't anywhere near this year what it was last year, Pete and others that feel the way Pete does? Well, maybe it's because he didn't have the same players on the field. It wasn't because they weren't under center enough. If you think that their lack of success this year is because they weren't under center enough, you need your head examined. I mean, it's not even close as to what the number one reason was for their lack of success team-wide, but even offensively, because that's what we're talking about right now, specific to why they weren't as good on offense in 2025 as they were in 2024. Well, it's because they didn't have the same players on the field. And I'm not talking about Olamide Zaccheaus or De'Ami Brown. I'm talking about Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin, Austin Eckler, Sam Cosmi, Luke McCaffrey, Zach Ertz towards the end. I mean, come on. You gotta wrap your head around the fact that they didn't have a chance this year to be a good team, let alone good on offense, when your starting quarterback played three games, start to finish, completely healthy. 3 out of 17, what are we talking about? When you consider that offensively, this team finished pretty much in the middle of the pack in a lot of key categories, better than middle of the pack in the red zone, 7th in the league in red zone offense this year. But when you consider that they didn't stink on offense, well, that's where you have to say, well, why not? Well, because the coordinator's pretty good at what he does. We can disagree or agree, and I would agree with those that would say, yeah, I just prefer a different style of offense. So do I. I do too. You know, but don't tell me that the offense stunk because the offensive coordinator didn't have him under center enough this year. You seriously need to be checked if you believe that's true. He didn't have players. By the way, you know, he indicated that he was a bit more under center, kind of implied that he was a bit more under center with Josh and with Marcus. I haven't done the math on this. I would say Marcus and Jaden are the same. Like, Marcus and Jaden prefer and are more comfortable in shotgun and pistol. Now, look, you know, as far as like him just kind of blowing it off the under center conversation, which I guess you could put it that way if you want. It's not that he said he didn't believe in it. That's not what he said. But that it was, he was kind of like, you know, and if you watched him, you could kind of see this in his, you know, expression. It was like, are you seriously, guys, going to question? Like, I mean, I was the offensive coordinator of an elite offensive football team in the NFL last year. Elite offensive football team. Top five in pretty much every category. This year, I didn't have my best players on the field. And we still finished in the middle of the pack. By the way, I'll remind everybody, and I've said this before, I am much more, I totally think that a Shanahan-style offense is my preference. I do. And if Mike McDaniel became available and he was going to be our offensive coordinator, I'd be intrigued with that. More than intrigued, I'd be excited about it. I think it'd be great. But anyway, last year, just as a reminder, three of the final four teams, championship weekend, AFC Championship, NFC Championship, three of the four teams, the Skins, the Eagles, and the Chiefs, were among the least under-center teams in the NFL. So I know it's going to be different, more likely than not, this year. Okay, I get that. But I'm just pointing out a fact that you know, that didn't happen in 1984 or 1994. That happened in 2024. There are a lot of different ways to skin the cat. Andy Reid, you know, in Patrick Mahomes have had a lot of success, haven't they? Are they under center a lot? No, near the bottom of the league in under center. This year, though, the results have been different. The under center teams have thrived. And, you know, look, I know many of you believe that you actually know more than Cliff Kingsbury does about coordinating and calling an offense. Have at it. I don't. I don't feel like I know more than he does. So his answer last week didn't offend me, or it wasn't off-putting to me as it was with, you know, several of you, many of you. Last year, Washington was an elite offensive football team. Yes, the quarterback had a lot to do with it. You know what? The quarterback usually has a lot to do with it. This year, with the best players on the team on offense out for a majority of the season, Cliff wasn't able to accomplish the same thing. Shocker. I am and haven't been nowhere near where some of you are thinking that the team has an offensive coordinator problem. I'm just nowhere near that vicinity. Again, let me be clear. I do prefer Shanahan-style offense with more under center. I think it creates, based on what I know and watching football just like all of you, I think it creates more opportunities. I think Jaden also would thrive in that style of offense. I talked about that before the draft in 2024, that he will fit in any style offense, and I do believe that. But here's the thing. I don't have to think about what Jaden looks like in a Cliff Kingsbury offense. I know what he looks like in a Cliff Kingsbury offense. He looks great in a Cliff Kingsbury offense. I have 20 games of proof of how great he and the offense around him look in a Cliff Kingsbury offense. There's not a lot of proof this year because he only played in three games start to finish healthy. In four games total start to finish. I'd take the Green Bay game as not a start to finish healthy game. So I got three instead of four. Some of you say, no, it's four games that he started and finished. Yes, he did start and finish four, but he didn't start and finish four healthy. He started and finished three out of 17 healthy. So I'm not worked up over Cliff's answer. I'm just not. You know, but, you know, you can handle, I can anyway, sometimes. My wife doesn't necessarily agree with me on this, but I can handle more than one thought and belief at a time. I do prefer Shanahan style, more under center offenses, and I think Jaden would thrive in one. But I'm also not at all, or won't be displeased at all, if Cliff Kingsbury comes back as the offensive coordinator. Now, as far as the reporting from over the weekend, so this was Diana's report. Diana reported in The Athletic on Saturday, quote, Washington has also had conversations about potentially moving on from Kingsbury, even if he doesn't get a head coaching job. Some in the building say there's been a disconnect between Kingsbury and general manager Adam Peters. When was the last time we were watching to see if an offensive coordinator was going to get fired while he was also preparing for head coaching interviews? We'll see how this shakes out. The Commanders likely won't make any final decisions until they see how the broader coaching market develops. Yeah, you know, that last line, it just occurred to me for the first time because I've read Diana's report a few times since Saturday. You can't shoot people unless you've got their replacement and you know that the replacement is better. So, yeah, when she writes, we'll see how this shakes out. The Commanders likely won't make any final decisions until they see how the broader coaching market develops. They're talking about who would actually be available to come in and replace Kingsbury if they indeed decided to move on, even if he doesn't get a head coaching position. So I'm going to give you my thoughts. I'm going to give you what I was told. Ben had some reporting on it as well. We'll get to that and more. I'll get to my game take coming up here shortly because, you know, we've got to finish it out, right? You start doing these game recaps after every regular season game. Hell, we do them for the preseason games. And, you know, yesterday was a glorified preseason game. Both teams. I will give you my game take from yesterday's season-ending 24-17 win over the Eagles that cost them two draft spots. By the way, that is a big deal. For those of you who think it's not a big deal, yeah, it's a big deal. Doesn't mean that it will ultimately be a big deal, but in the moment, you'd rather have five than seven. Isn't that kind of like, would you rather have a higher draft choice or a lower draft choice? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. Don't forget, you can watch us on the Team 980's YouTube channel. When you get there, please hit the subscribe button for us and hit the like button for us. Helps us out.